Today is August 23rd, 1988, and I'm here with Lavina Mathis at her home in Jacksonville, and we're going to be talking about the quilt making and quilt making in her family. And this is being done for the Duhall County Folk Arts and Education Project with the Florida Folklife Programs. Okay, first of all, I need your complete name.
Lavinia Edith Mathis. Okay. Lavinia Edith Perkins Mathis.
Oh, okay. All right. And could I have the spelling for Lavinia, please?
L-A-V-I-N-I-A, Lavinia.
Okay. And Mathis is spelled M-A-T-H-I-S,
yes, Mathis.
Okay. We need your address also.
My present address is 1464 West 10th Street, Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
Spelled zip 32209.
Okay. And we need your date of birth and your birthplace.
I was born in Jacksonville, Florida, September 24th, 1923.
Okay. I figure that's more polite than asking your age there. They told me I had to ask it. Okay, great. Have you lived in Jacksonville all your life then?
Yes, I have lived in Jacksonville all of my life, except for a few years when I was away in school and visiting in Tuskegee.
Okay.
My husband was in school about 3 years.
Okay. Where did you go to school?
Florida A&M University.
Okay.
And Tallahassee. And then I did additional studies at Tuskegee in Alabama.
Okay. And your occupation?
A retired teacher. At present, I'm part-time clerk at HRS in the info screening division.
Okay. You retired from teaching junior high student science?
Well, I retired from the library, junior high school library, in 1977.
Okay.
After 25 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But you had taught student science before?
Yes, science was my major. And I taught science and home economics.
Okay.
Science mostly.
Okay. That's it as far as just background type things. Okay. I'm interested in how you got started making the quilts. Where did that all come from there for you?
My grandmother was a dressmaker for a number of years. She started my sister and myself quilting when we were small, taking scraps. And then in addition to my grandmother being a dressmaker, my aunt was also interested in arts and crafts, and she embroidered and made lace, and during our years in 4-H camp and also in scout camp, we were taught to do arts and crafts, including quilting and other arts. And I also began interest in particularly different types of crafts when I was working with the junior high school group. Most of the students had to have a hobby, a club, and I organized a little club with a little group. And some of the students were interested in quilting. I had one little student who was a young man who quilted his mother bedroom slippers.
Oh.
And she was so impressed with it. He made some quilted bedroom slippers for her birthday, and he did such an excellent job with it, everyone was amazed. And there were other students who were interested also. But my class in quilting, I had a class in quilting when I was working over at one of the nutrition sites here. And one of the ladies brought in a lot of scraps, and they began to quilt. They do a lot of quilting for the nursing homes, and that was one of the things that impressed me. So I began trying to put together stitches, and now I've made several quilts. In fact, last year I made over a dozen quilts. One of the ladies down in the neighborhood was ill, and I made her a nice lap quilt. And she said, I'd like to give you some of the scraps that I have. So she gave me a number of scraps, and from that I made a number of quilts, and I carried them over to St. Catherine's, which is the nursing home where I work out from as a volunteer.
Oh, I see.
And I carried them over there for the giveaway for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm trying to learn more about quilting because I'm interested in rapid, quilts so that it won't take so long. In fact, I'm learning how to do a quilt in a day or two so that it won't take so long because we need over hundreds of quilts because we have about 200 or 300 residents and like to have quilts for each one of them. So they are groups of ladies. I haven't gotten my group together, but I do plan to try to get them together by September so that we can begin. This is through our church organization, Altar Rosary Group.
What church is that?
St. Pius Catholic Church. here in Jacksonville, let's say Pius the Fifth Catholic Church.
Okay.
And the lady who is in charge of our sewing group is a Miss Estelle White, who has made a number of beautiful quilts, and she's supposed to help us with our quilting. But I'm going to ask her to serve as the chairman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm interested a lot in the work that your grandmother did. Did she live here in Jacksonville?
Lived in Jacksonville all of her life.
Uh-huh. Where was the dress shop located, by the way?
No, she didn't have a dress shop. She worked for the Canova family in Riverside, I think, a family, and there was the daughter whose name was Judy Canova, who was an actress, but she worked out in Riverside. Each family had dressmakers, they had the cooks, and they had the housekeepers, and she was the dressmaker for this particular family, and she did a lot of sewing, and she took a lot of the scraps from her materials and made beautiful quilts, and then she started my sister and I making quilts. And my sister sews quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Was she making quilts for just everyday use back then?
Everyday use. Uh-huh. In fact, the beds, every bed had a beautiful quilt. I wish I had a sample of the quilts because they were all very beautifully done, different designs, different patterns. In fact, they use a different traditional patterns, but I can't remember all of the patterns, but I know she had a number of them. Every bed in each room had a beautiful quilt, two or three quilts that were made, because you didn't have the heating system now that you have, everyone had a fireplace, and they used a lot of quilts and blankets, and most of the blankets and quilts were made by hand at that time. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a lot of commercial. And most of them had the backing of the muslin, which was used for flower sacks, and they took most of the material from the flower sack squares and made the quilts out of them. You didn't buy the material like you bought now. You bought the sacks, large sacks, when you got flour and sugar with the sacks, and they used the flower sack squares and made the materials for the quilts and also other materials.
Was that muslin used mainly for the backing, or was that also used for some of the...
Some of the squares were made out of the muslin, but the backing was done with the muslin.
Oh, I see.
Mostly, yeah. At that time, you could buy flower square sacks. They were large sacks, and they were colorful with the material. And you take the material and make dresses and things. They made dresses out of the materials from the flower sack squares. And they're very beautiful materials. And there were stoves that sold materials commercially, but most of the materials you could get from, I think we had stoves such as Sears, but you didn't have large varieties of scraps and things like you have now, materials that you have. Most of the materials were made from the flower sack squares and other materials that they had. Huh. They would take old dresses and make the dresses into quilts after they, had become worn. Yeah. And they'd make the most beautiful quilts. I can't remember all of the types, but I know there were a number of types of quilts that were made.
So they just kind of recycled the clothing that way?
Yes, recycled clothing and made quilts. Huh. Because you didn't have a lot of available dry goods stores. But after the dry goods stores came in, I'm one of the first ones with First Cuts and May Cohen's. In fact, it was Cohen Brothers at that time. And then eventually we got a Sears store, and you could buy material very reasonable, like piece goods for about 15 cents a yard. People can't imagine. The material we pay $1.98 for, we got it for 15 cents a yard. You bought a lot of materials to buy to make clothes out of it, and you took the scraps. You never threw away anything.
Mm-hmm.
Took that and made scraps out of it.
Now, that's one thing that interests me back during that time period was just people were a lot more frugal and had the ability to make
that's
do
right.
with things
you didn't
around.
Have the stoves that you could purchase things from. You could go to the little corner store, but you didn't have the materials, like you have now because everything was much simpler than it is now. Everything was bought and purchased and made.
I suppose your grandmother was using some of the old scraps from the dressmaking, too, and she would put
those in some schools. Yes, she used a lot of them for the dressmaking because we never threw away anything.
Mm-hmm.
Kept everything intact. Mm-hmm. Used some scraps.
Who was she making the quilts for, mainly? Was it
mainly for the family members.
Oh.
Yeah, for the grandchildren and for the... in my mother's family, there were three brothers and one sister, and she was the youngest girl in the family. And they made... Now, we had the extended family at that time. My uncle and his wife lived in the home, and my aunt also made quilts. She was a quilt maker. And then my other cousins all of us. I think we all were taught to make the quilts when we were very small because she lived in Tampa. And when I went to visit her home, she was teaching a lot of the ladies through the Urban League. She was formerly a nurse, and they had a lot of beautiful quilts. I'm sorry I didn't get any of those quilts from Tampa, but the home was sold, and I didn't get back there to get any of the quilts. But she did teach quilting at the Urban League. And then there was a homemaker, Mrs. Ford, who was a home extension agent who taught quilting there. And she had quite a number of quilts that were made.
Did they ever have quilting bees as you were growing up? Did they ever have quilting bees as you were growing up?
I think most of the families had quilting bees. Uh-huh. That was one of the things that the ladies did. They had the quilting bees, and you were part of a quilting bee. They didn't have bridge and other things like that. I think most of them met to sew and have quilting bees. Uh-huh. And they organized clubs, quilting clubs.
Oh, I see.
Everyone came together and made the quilts.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
would they kind of take turns on quilting each other's quilts and that sort of thing?
I think that's what happened, just like the ladies do now with the quilting clubs. They took turns and made quilts for each other and for, you know, family members.
Did you ever go to any of those as you were a child or anything?
No, I don't remember, but I remember seeing my grandmother make quilts, you know, at home.
Yeah. What kind of frame did she use? Because I've heard people using the frames that hang from the ceiling back then. I was wondering if that was used.
Don't know just what type frames were used at that time, but I know there were some families who did own frames that were made. I haven't been able to get one. I'd like to have a large frame. I saw one at the Lane Wiley Center. That's out Lane Avenue. And the ladies were making quilts, and it hung from the ceiling. It was quite interesting. I stayed only a few weeks there because I taught a class out there, and it was under the Florida Junior College Extension Service education. And I noticed that the large frame was made by a group of the men, and the ladies used it, and it was one that you could adjust, and you know, you could bring it down as low as you wanted. And I noticed the ladies would be quilting. I wanted to get in on one of the classes, but I never had time because my schedule was so tight. I had classes on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Friday, and I never got back out there. This class was on a Wednesday, so I never got back to the class after I started working.
Back when your grandmother was making quilts, did you think that people in the area thought of quilt making as an art, or was it kind of...
I think it was an art, because they stuck to that. In fact, sewing and everything was done at home then. You didn't have much commercial sewing. Everyone sewed at home, and all the girls learned to sew in school, and then most of them learned to sew at home. But most of them seemed like that was a gift, because a lot of them didn't have the opportunity to go to school, because a lot of them married young, and when they had families, they didn't go back to school. And then there were some places, there were no schools. In fact, one of the oldest schools, I think, was one of the schools that I attend, that's old girl, La Villa School, which was in the Jewish neighborhood, which was known as La Villa, and I think it was built in the 1800s, and I don't know whether most of the families got a chance to go, but my mother did go to private school. She said it was in Orange Park at that time, by the Methodist Church, and they learned sewing and other arts.
Would they do quilting in the school also?
Yes, they did quilting. That was one of the arts that the students learned.
Oh, I see.
And there was another private school, Boylan Haven, where the students learned quilting and other arts. I went to public schools throughout my career, so most of the sewing that I did was at home. And then we, fortunately, my last year in junior high school, which was really 8th grade, we had clothing, and home economics was added to our curriculum, and we learned to sew in our class, and that was in around 1937, which was quite some time ago, about 51 years ago.
Did your mother quilt at all?
My mother quilted
and
made a number of quilts. She was a teacher and taught school. I think she taught about... she taught on junior high school level, and then she also taught on the elementary level for about 40-some years. She was a retired teacher.
What were her quilts like?
Well, I don't have any samples of them. I hope my sister has kept some of them. But they were beautiful designs. I think most of them followed different type patterns. Most of them were very beautiful. I can remember one or two that she had on the bed. They were mostly squares that were beautifully quilted, and you know, the designs were very unique.
Do you know where she got her patterns at all?
There used to be magazines that would you could buy from the store that you could use for samples, because they had different types, like the what they call the wedding ring, and there were different quilt patterns that I haven't been able to find the books, but there are several books that have them. I think there was something like the Farmer's Almanac and different books that they could buy from the store that had different quilt patterns.
I was talking to some people, and they said that in the newspaper sometimes you would have
quilt patterns. Yeah. I have had to try to go through some of them, but now the books that I found, this book that I have here was a book I found at work that was being thrown out, and I grabbed it. It was a 1977 book that has this quilt pattern with the leaves on it. And I had been collector of leaves. I have leaves that I used to collect. We'd have the students collect leaves and identify leaves, particularly in our scouting. And I had some leaves. And I just happened to, the leaves that I put on that quilt that we're going to send to Russia, I found that on the parking lot at work. And I looked at it. It was such a beautiful leaf. I said, I'd like to reproduce this. And when Sister mentioned about the quilt, I thought about using that leaf. And I said, well, then I found this book, and I said, well, this has leaves. So I think, you know, like the leaf pattern quite a bit, because Florida is typical of a lot of trees. We have a lot of trees. And that was a maple leaf, and the other leaf that I found was similar to the maple leaf, but it was much smaller.
So you kind of made your own pattern out of that leaf that you
found? Yeah, from the leaf that I found on the parking lot. And then I found some leaves. We don't have a maple tree in this yard, but there are a number of maple trees in the neighborhood, and I find a lot of our leaves, and I've collected quite a few of them. And we usually take the leaves. I have been taking the leaves and making little, pressing them together with the wax paper. And we have some leaves on our door in the back. That's one of the things I like, collecting leaves. Leaf pattern.
Do you know if your grandmother and mother made up some of their own patterns?
I imagine they made up some of their patterns, and they probably used some of the patterns from the different periods that they probably found. Because I knew you could get the books like the Farmer's Almanac and other magazines, and they did have a lot of quilt designs. There was one young lady who lived in my neighborhood, who had a book that had all of the different types of quilt patterns from way back, and she showed us how she made all of her quilts. She made quilts out of every scrap. She never threw away scrap. She's dead now, but her daughter-in-law has some scraps. I wish I had thought to ask her, but I'll probably see her at scout meeting, and I'll ask her if she has one of her mother-in-law's quilts. Maybe you'd like to see that.
Sure.
And I'll try to bring it the next time I come to the meeting, maybe.
Would they also make, like, the crazy quilts, too?
Or they had all types. Yes.
Yeah.
The patterns that I have are just some that I haven't been able to pick up on, but I have seen a lot of very beautiful quilts. I didn't get to the quilt exhibit at the Civic Auditorium last year. I was planning to try to go, but I didn't get to. But I understand they had some of the most beautiful quilts. So some of the ladies from the communities like Maxwell and Lake, Lake City and Gainesville, all the areas came in.
They have another quilt show coming up this year.
Oh, well, I certainly want to see it at the Civic Auditorium.
Right. It's at the end of September. That's when it's going to be. Yeah, end of September. Well, last weekend in September, first week of
October. Oh, I'm glad you told me, because I had been looking to see when it was going to be. I missed the one last year.
Okay. Back also when your mother and grandmother were making quilts, would they have quilt raffles at all? Was that ever done?
I don't know. I think most of the quilts are made for the family members.
I
think they would give them to the family members for gifts, such as birthdays and Christmas.
Special occasions.
That's what it was.
How about your own quilts? Do you make most of your quilts for your family members or other people?
Most of them were for gifts for friends. The ones that I made, particularly the smaller ones, the lap quilts, were made for the nursing home residents that we have. And this year we plan to make at least about a dozen or more. We have a new nursing home now, which is located out on Edgewood. And I imagine there are about 60 patients, so that means that we would have to include them also. We were making them for our residents, that is our members, but we're going to include others. We have about four or five different private nursing homes and some that are sheltered care centers where there are people who need lap quilts. That's the main thing. They want the lap quilts for the, you know, the small ones to put around, because they get cool when the air conditioner's on, and in the winter they need something when they carry them outside.
Yeah.
And then we do carry a group over at St. Catharines. We carry a group down to Pavilion. Where you have you been to St. Vincent since they've remodeled it?
No.
We go out to the Pavilion where they go fishing, and they need the quilt sometime because it gets cool on the riverfront.
Oh, I see.
But we do have a place where we carry the residents, and they go fishing just about every week,
wow,
particularly during the spring and the summer, okay, when it's not too hot. But they need black quilts for a different occasion. That's why I've been using mostly the smaller quilts, but I do plan to make the larger ones.
Mm-hmm. Do you quilt with or how many women do you quilt with when you're doing them for the nursing homes?
Well, we usually have been doing it individually. We have one or two who work as individuals, but I'm hoping to get the group together.
Oh, I see.
So that we can work. Now, one of our chairmen, who was chairman of what we call welfare committee, did the quilting last year for the group, and I did some when I got a chance. I found that there was a need, and then I noticed that the ladies over at Baptist Towers and at these nursing, what's this other group that does a lot of quilts, they brought in over 200 quilts last year. We wrapped them for the residents at Baptist Towers, and then Lane Wiley Center, the ladies do the quilts too, mm-hmm, for the residents, mm-hmm, of nursing homes,
mm-hmm,
and we have not gotten with any of those groups, but I do want to go over and visit and see just how well they all make their quilts.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you make quilts.
I'm
sorry, I cut you off there.
No,
I suppose you make quite a few quilts for the people in your family there.
Well, just most of the quilts that I have made have been for others.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to make my little granddaughter a quilt for her bed, mm-hmm, and maybe a little grandson, so they'll have something to talk about later when they're older.
Okay. How long has the group been together to make the quilts for the nursing home?
Well, the ladies from Baptist Hall, those who went to my, I imagine that they've been doing it for a number of years, because I noticed that they were doing some quilts during the summer. And that's something quite interesting. And their quilts are just exquisite. Oh, they were beautiful quilts. We wrapped over 200 last year for Christmas. And I think they take them to about three or four different nursing homes. I know it's St. Catharines and All Saints. And there are several other nursing homes where they go, Eartha Whites, where they go and carry the quilts. They are very beautiful.
I see. Okay. What types of patterns are they using there? What would show up in some of their quilts?
I noticed circles, and I noticed squares or triangles, and there were different type of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
They were very beautiful, squares, triangles, and the different, and some of them were, just beautiful. I just can't describe them. They were very, very beautiful, very colorful.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How about with your own quilting? What kind of patterns are you using?
Well, I've been using mostly squares. I guess I'm lazy because the square is a little bit easier to cut. But I have a friend who was showing me different patterns that she was making. And she told me that whenever we got a chance, I would try to see if I could find some of the patterns that she has used. But they are mostly mine. I guess lazy man's quilts. They're mostly squares.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly
mm-hmm.
squares. Uh-huh.
Is that pretty much the same style that like your mother and grandmother worked in?
Yes, they both use squares. I don't remember too many of the different patterns, but I think they used a lot of the squares.
Mm. Is that mainly piecework or is that applique also?
Well, most of the piecework. And now the one that I'm doing is partly applique, but it will be quilting also. I'll have to get the basic quilting stitches and after I get through with the applique. That's the main thing, getting all those leaves applique. It's supposed to be 80 leaves, I guess I'll get through before the end of the month. And when I get through the applique, that's the main thing. And I didn't want to do it on the machine because I have some, I have a zigzag attachment, but I thought I'd try to do it on hand to see how long it would take.
It'll take you a while.
Yes, a little while, but I'll, do it in the afternoon and at work when I have my break.
I noticed also the stitch that you're using with the maple leaf there on your applique.
Yeah, this is supposed to be the blanket stitch. It's supposed to be the blanket stitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get that perfected. In fact, it's been so long since I've used that stitch. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
After we get through with that, then I put the the stitches.
Is this blanket stitch, did your mother and grandmother use that one? Or was that kind of your own?
Well, I learned to use a blanket stitch under, I think, under my grandmother and mother. But we had classes in learning to use the blankets. We use that with our sewing sometimes.
Oh, I see.
That is, you know, making handmade doll.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's one that you don't see on the quilts a whole lot.
Yes, uh-huh. Is that going to be disturbing? Let me
No, I don't think we'll pick up the
TV
there.
Okay, I'll take one. All right, yes, that's a blanket stitch. We use that for, what's that for, making the, what's that, in making the buttonhole. Yeah, that's buttonhole stitch, and also like blanket stitch, used for buttonholes.
I see. Mm-hmm. You use mainly the hoop whenever you're doing your quilting, right? You don't?
Well, sometimes I just use the hand, but now this is, I'm getting ready to do, this is going to be a picture. That's going to be, well, now I had to use that hoop in order to get that, but this is just a running stitch. But after I get through with that, it will be similar to the one that you saw, the small picture. That's going to be a picture when I get through working that out. I've got to go back and put the bunting in there, and it will be raised when I finish that. When I get through with this, I'll mount that on a frame.
I see.
That's a wall. That'll be a wall picture.
I see. So when you're doing your quilting, sometimes you don't even use a hoop at all? Sometimes it's just...
It's more convenient to use a hoop.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
I see. Oh, so you're always using the hoop when you're quilting?
Mostly when you're stitching and making the stitches.
Oh, I see.
Okay. That's just a running stitch. But after it's finished, then it will be raised because we have other stitches to do. Like the little picture that I've shown you that we have.
Okay.
That'll be like that.
Let me check my tape here. Okay, could you give me an idea of the steps involved in making a quilt, kind of from start to finish there for me?
Well, now I'm learning to follow this pattern here. Now, this is what happened to me when I found this book. I began to look at the directions, and this was what I was trying to follow. This was the maple leaf quilt, and I had to find out what I needed. First of all, I had to find out the materials, and I looked at the materials, and I decided that since I did have a lot of, I use a lot of unbleached muslin because it's about the most inexpensive material that I can find, and I found the material at Fabric King for what I call a bargain. 59 cent a yard is very reasonable, so I found some material, 59 cent a yard, so at that time I got the material. About 10 yards, which came to about $5 and something, $5.90, which was very expensive. And then I looked at this quilt. In fact, this was the one that I was very impressed with. I looked at the quilt in order to find out what I needed. So when I found that the material, they suggested white fabric, so I used the muslin, which was very inexpensive because a white material is very... expensive. Most of the materials that I looked at were $1.19 a yard, $1.20, and sometimes $1.99 a yard when they have the sale. So I used the unbleached muslin, and then after I looked at the pattern, I was trying to find the directions for cutting. In fact, the leaf that I'm using, we were supposed to make our own leaf. I started cutting out the leaf, but I used a regular leaf instead of the pattern, but I did cut a pattern. Mm-hmm. And I cut the pattern from a piece of cardboard. And after I found that I could get the pattern, let's see what I do with that pattern I had. I had a pattern that was a little heavy cardboard. And then I started cutting out my leaves. That's the main thing, cutting the leaves from the scraps. And then I cut the squares. I tried to cut the squares. The suggestion from the pattern was that I would use the 17 inches square and 20 white blocks, which means that I had to get enough for the unbleached muslin. So those are the squares that I had. And then I began to cut the... the leaves out. That's the main thing. I haven't finished cutting the long squares, which would be 20. So I have about 5 squares cut, and when I finish, I should have 20 squares, which would be enough. And then after I cut the leaves out, and then the then I'm going to applique those, which would be, the main thing is applique each of one of those blocks and getting the leaves. And then after I do that, then I will have to get the leaves. I'll do the quilting, but I'll have to put this, I'll have to cut my blocks so that I'll be able to get them together. Mm-hmm. And after I cut that, then I will trace around the pattern so that I'll be sure that I get the leaves. I'm going to have to raise those leaves up and put the bunting underneath there, and then that will mean that I'll have to do the stitching. Mm-hmm. So that I can have the what looks like the veins and the pattern. Mm-hmm. And that means that it will take about another week for me to finish about 20 of those squares, because the applique takes a little time.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't take too long. And what, after I get that together, yes.
What do you use for the bunting?
The bunting, we have to buy the bunting from one of the fabric stores. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I can use, if I had a heavy quilt or maybe an old blanket, you could use a blanket for quilting, but I usually use a bunting. Mm-hmm. For my quilts.
Okay.
The bunting that you buy it in large packages.
Okay.
The bunting.
I need to flip my tape over here. Back on side two. You were kind of giving me a description of the steps of all involved along the way of making a quilt. And
yes.
So we've gotten to the point of finishing the applique and putting the bunting and everything there.
Yes.
What will come next after that?
Well, now, my main problem is getting these blocks together after they have been appliqued, and after I've gotten that, getting these blocks together and sewing the strips together. I'm going to have to get the material for the strips because I don't have enough scraps, but it'll take about 4 yards, I guess, for the, at least about, I think the pattern calls for about 4 yards, or 2.5 yards of the batting, which means that I'll have to use the batting for the quilt. That'll be the base, and then when I get the top of it, which will be the main thing, I'll have to stitch that together. Stitch all this together. It'll come after all of the leaves have been put together, all of the materials. This will take, I guess, about another week or two to get all these together. And then after I do that, I'll put it, more likely I'll have to put it on the floor, since I don't have my frame yet. But I think I'm going to get a frame built so that I'll have a place, you know, to quilt. But I'll have to put it on the floor, usually on the floor, and then that means I'll put it together and it will be quilted. So I still have to do the quilting after I get the blocks and everything made and put the backing of it. Then I'll have to get put laid out like a spread and then put it together.
Uh-huh.
Then the quilting part is about the hardest part, getting the quilting done.
Uh-huh. Are you going to set up a whole floor stand quilt frame here in your house to do the quilting there?
I think I'm just going to have to use the easiest way now, since I'll have to finish, but I'll get it completed, I think. Now, the one that I made one about 4 or 5 years ago. It was a real wide one. I had to put it across the floor so that I could have a... so I could see how it came out.
Hmm.
But I had to work it on the floor, because that's kind of hard, but I still had to, you know, do the stitching and then get it together.
Hmm.
And all that had to be done on hand.
Hmm.
Because after it gets together, the batting is very thick, and then it has to, you know, you have to do the stitching with a large needle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The stitches.
Your husband would never trip over the quilt that you have on the floor, would he?
So he won't have to.
Yes. Have you made many quilts for like special occasions, like weddings or anniversaries or birthdays or anything like that much?
I finished a quilt that someone else had made for a wedding. It was a very beautiful pattern, and the colors were red and yellow. And I don't know, it was just one of the most beautiful quilts I'd seen. The lady had started it. She got the top of it together.
Uh-huh.
But she wasn't able to finish. And the lady asked me, said, would you finished the quilt. I said, well, I'm not experienced because I really hadn't had that much instructions on how to go through. I said, well, I'll try it. And when I finished it up, it came out to be a very beautiful quilt for wedding. But I didn't initiate the pattern. The lady did the pattern, but I finished it up for her and quilted it and had to do the finishing, all of the finishing for it. But it came out to be a very beautiful, it was a large quilt, about a queen size quilt. Because it was for a wedding, and very beautiful pattern.
I like the way quilts are often given as a special gift.
Yes, they are beautiful, like, and it makes it nice. I'm trying to think of a pattern I can use for a quilt that I want to make for a special friend who's celebrating an anniversary. I thought maybe a nice quilt would be nice, and try to work out that out before Christmas, because the anniversary will be here before I know it.
Was that common for your grandmother or mother to make quilts for special occasions like that?
Yes, I think they did. Yes, I'm sure that was one of the things that got them started, making quilts for birthdays and weddings and for family members for different occasions. All of the family members were involved in the art.
I've talked to a number of quilt makers, and they've told me about some beliefs that they have about bad luck and good luck with quilting.
Oh,
I was wondering if they're running your family that way.
I haven't heard of any.
I've heard it's bad luck to break a needle while you're in the middle of a quilt.
Oh, isn't that something? Well, I'm not superstitious, but I hate to start one and not finish it. But I'm going to finish the ones I started. But the ones I worked on last Christmas, I had pretty good luck with them. I was able to get them ready before Christmas.
Oh, I see.
In spite of having a lot of other things to do.
Yeah. You've made a lot of quilts here with, like, doing a number in a year like that.
In fact, sometimes within 2 or 3 months, because you should start at the beginning of the year, then by Christmas time. But I noticed the ladies over at Baptist Towers seem like they must make quilts on a day. I know there was a lady over at Lane Wallace Center who could put she had these beautiful, large blocks of material, and she'd put them together so fast, very rapidly. I wanted to go back and see how many quilts she actually made, but I know she made quilts just about every day. It looked like she'd be on a different quilt. Oh, it was very interesting to see how well she made them and put them together very, very neatly. They were always very beautifully done. She only wanted the scraps, and she put them together and did the other work. They were very, very beautiful.
So you haven't heard too many other quilters tell you about their superstitions with quilt making?
No, I haven't heard any, but I imagine there may be a number of them.
Yes. I was wondering if those were ever kind of something that people would pass down around. Sometimes they say it's bad luck for a woman to work on a quilt if it's going to be like a wedding present for her.
Oh, my goodness.
It's bad luck
for her to work on it, for the bride to work on it.
She's not supposed to touch it at all.
Yeah, they are a lot of stories, local stories.
Okay. I was wondering if you've in your family have been some quilts that have been passed down. You showed me like the one that was from your aunt.
Yeah, that's from an aunt on my brother-in-law's side. But she lived in this home, and that was found in her trunk, and she passed on. But she did a lot of quilting, but I haven't been able to find any others. My sister has some quilts of my grandmother, but I don't know just how many. And the one who lives in the homestead should have, so I'm have to go through the trucks, I guess, and find some.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun to see some of your family's quilts.
Yes, some of the family quilts. Yeah. I'd like to see some of them. But I remember seeing one on each bed. When we would make up the bed, there was a quilt on each bed, and each person had their quilt. I imagine about 2 or 3 quilts. That was one of the things my grandmother always saw, that we had the quilts. You didn't have the, heat, like I'm saying, but you had a fire room, just about had a fireplace, because you didn't have central heat and air conditioning like the homes nowadays.
So I guess there's not too many quilts around right now in your family, because they've just been kind of used to that.
Yes, I imagine they'd be used like that, because I'm sure that got a lot of use.
But you're planning on restoring that particular
quilt? I'm going to try to restore that one.
Yeah.
And get a bag to put it in so it won't come apart. I'd just like to make one like that or similar. I have a lot of silk scraps, and I was wondering what I was going to do with them. There's one lady using only cotton scraps, and she brought me a lot of silk scraps, so I thought that I would try to make one similar, but it'll take a little time because I've got to finish these others.
Have you ever done any work on like a friendship quilt at all or anything like that?
Friendship quilt? No, the quilt that they are Making Now was the first one that I'd ever participated in with a group.
Oh, I see.
Like that. Uh-huh. And I haven't had a chance to, you know, get a chance to meet the ladies who are working on it.
Oh, I see.
Fran came to the meeting, but I haven't seen her since. I know she's been real busy.
Yeah.
And one or two meetings, I remember she came and introduced herself, and she asked us to participate. So I thought I'd better get busy, and I sent my quilt and contribution so that we could get the quilt started.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see the quilt.
Oh.
But I would like to get a group of ladies together so that we can start something like friendship quilt. That would be very nice. I went to a convention in Gainesville last year, and the ladies were making the most beautiful quilts. And one year they raffled a quilt, and it was really a beautiful quilt. Each person was given a square, and they were supposed to come up with some type of design.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought about doing the same thing with the ladies that I hope to get together, because it'll be sometime before they meet. They'll meet next month. But I hope I'll be able to get them and give each one a square and let them work out, you know, a pattern for the square and then put it together.
Uh-huh.
And then we could probably use that as a fundraiser if it comes out all right.
Mm-hmm.
But the lady who made the other quilt, oh, it was, in fact, she made two. And a couple won the quilt, and then the other one, the young lady who's a member of our organization, won it. And she proudly displayed it on her bed.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to give it up. It's hard for her to, I guess, because it was one.
Yeah.
And she liked it. Her mother was a quilter also. She may have some quilts that her mother made.
Mm-hmm.
She sewed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her mother made quite a lot of quilts. So I'll check with her and see if I can find some other quilts and the history behind them.
Yeah. Let's see, how did you get involved with the Peace with Justice quilt there?
I was involved with the committee last year. Sister Barbara is over the Catholic Charities and Peace and Justice Committee with the Catholic Diocese. And last year I was asked to work with her, and the group that I worked with were concerned with the journalists from Africa who came. There were three young journalists who have been traveling with this group. And they were involved. So we were involved with food last year, preparing food.
Awesome.
We had to make cakes last year.
Uh-huh.
Our group made cakes for the reception and also served. And this year she asked us to work with the group. And when Fran came in, she asked the ladies who were interested. So I volunteered to make one of the squares. And that was my contribution.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm anxious to see the quilt.
Yeah, looks real nice.
Yeah, I bet it does.
It looks real good.
You've taken pictures of it?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's nice. That's when you want to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many people were involved with working on the piece?
I think there were supposed to be 35 squares. And at the last time she reported, I think there were about 20 already in, so they were looking for 15 more. And one of our librarians brought one that her husband made beautiful. It was hand painted.
Hmm.
With birds, I think the piece, a dove, there were two doves, and it's very beautiful. Hers was hand-painted, but there were others, I imagine, who've done other media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very beautiful. I haven't seen it yet.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. When did that particular project get started?
At the beginning of this year, when Sister called us to meeting. I can't find my material, but I'll have it together when I get to the meeting. But she had a little brochure asking for 35 squares, and she said there would be a limited number, so I tried to get mine in so that I'd be one of the 35.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about the leaf pattern, which is one of the things I'm interested in, since Florida has a number of different type trees. I've forgotten the number, but we studied trees when I had a geology class. I've forgotten now how many different varieties of trees we have in Florida, but there are a number of different varieties that I've never seen. We went all around Tallahassee, and they're just interesting that the different variety of trees are found in different locations in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they say in years to come, instead of the palm being our largest tree or the favorite tree, the magnolia is going to be maybe in about 100 years, the magnolia will be our most abundant tree. Yes, the palm was one of the most abundant.
I like the way the piece with Justice quote, where each of the blocks had something to do with Florida somewhere along the line.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Or most of them did anyway.
Yeah.
So your leaf fits right in there real well. And then that's going to be sent to Murmansk, Russia.
That's right.
Sister City of Jacksonville.
That's going to be interesting.
Okay. Let's see. What would you say makes your style of quilting kind of Lavinia Mathis's style of quilting? What would you say makes it yours?
Well, I like the applique designs. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I like, applique designs. Whenever I've made them, most of mine have been applique designs. And what I do use the squares for are the other smaller quilts because it takes less time. Mm-hmm. But when I make use the applique, it takes a little time because it has to be done on hand. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little, maybe ingenuity because of the fact that I have to have the needle thread. I usually have a problem with getting the thread tangled. That's the main thing. I have to have a long thread, and I have a problem with that, but I've tried to work it out so that I won't get it tangled too much. Uh-huh. But I do like the applique type, you know, with the long thread, and I like that as a pattern. And I'm trying to develop my technique of really getting it neater. I made a lot of mistakes, and I had to take it loose, but I thought I'd just go on to the next one. I'll try to work out something so it won't be as bulky, but I'll try to get it so it'll be smoother, the design.
What kind of colors do you like to put in your quilts?
Well, different colors. I like various colors. One of my favorite colors is pink, green, and yellow. Most of these colors in this book are some of my favorite colors. But the leaves that I have cut out came from... most of these are the ones I have. I haven't finished cutting out all of them. It's a shame that I have. But most of these are different colors of the scraps of little dresses that I either made or some other designs that scraps were given to me. But these are the ones. Most of them are different colors. They have the different colors of from different dresses that have been made over a period of years. Most of these are. But my favorite colors are pink and blue and yellow, and the colors of rainbow.
You like to put the bright colors into your quilts?
Yes, I like to put the bright colors. Colors of the rainbow.
That's right. Okay. What do you enjoy about quilting? What keeps you going?
It's relaxing, and it makes me, in fact, when I sit out at night and do a little quilting, it makes me sort of relax after I've had a long day. Then I can sit down and relax. Sometimes I get up early in the morning, and that gives me a little time in the morning to sort of relax after I come from church, or maybe when I get up early, sometimes extra early in the morning, maybe around 5, and then can work a little bit when it's kind of cool, because it gets warm in the daytime sometimes. In fact, I'm working in the daytime, so I work at night early in the morning.
Yeah, a lot of quilt makers tell me that they just find it very kind of giving them peace of mind.
Yeah, it does give you sort of... Oh, it takes away some of the stress and pressures that you have. It's relaxing.
I found that to be true around a lot of people who do the handwork.
Handwork.
Any type of wood carving or lace making or quilting.
I like lace making, too. In fact, I want to learn more about it because we used to do the captain lace, but I can't remember exactly how we did it, but my aunt was very gifted with lace making. In fact, we'd take the hairpins and make lace. Just an ordinary hairpin.
Yeah.
Hairpin lace.
I'd seen that before.
That's right.
But it's hard to find.
That was one thing we learned in 4-H camp, but it's been so long since I've done that, actually. My daughter does a lot of crochet. Now, that's some of her crocheting there. She likes crocheting and knitting. She made those. Yeah. And she likes art and other things. Macrame and some of her macrame and other things like that. And she likes to do. She made her mother-in-law one of the most beautiful quilts several years ago when we were living in New York. She made several quilts.
So you taught your children how to quilt there?
Well, now she likes it. The oldest daughter. Now the youngest one likes art. She does a lot of artwork, and she does a lot of the little samples like that, making the wall. She has a lot of wall hangings. Now when I finish with that, that'll be a wall hanging. Put that in the bedroom. And the others. She has a lot of things that she's making. The oldest daughter is the one who's teaching me. she does a neat job of a lot of things.
Do you find people being more interested in quilting now, or do you think quilting's kind of something that's fading away?
I think it's more interest in there. I think there's more interest in quilting now.
Uh-huh.
Because years ago, I don't remember seeing as many quilts as I see now. When I went to White Springs, I saw a lot of beautiful quilts down there, too. Mm-hmm. And in Pennsylvania, when we went to the Amish area at the Mennonite.
Right, Lancaster County.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the young man who's here now, who's a friend of the brethren, who said he's going to have a lot of those.
The new minister with them?
Yes, the new minister.
Right.
Yeah. What church are you connected with?
I'm connected with the Lutheran Church there.
Oh, yes, that's interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I have a number of friends who are connected with St. Paul Lutheran Church. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. For a number of years, we didn't have very many Lutherans among our group. We had one, when I was in college, there was one young lady from Pensacola who was the one and only Lutheran on our campus, and now there are a number of them. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Right in that area of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, there's a number of quilt shops there, and you travel through there, and you can go like 5 miles. And
to look, you know, at the things. In fact, it's like Christmas in July. We were there in July, and we went through those shops, and then they let us go into one of the beautiful homes where they had the quilts on the beds.
Yeah.
Oh, and they were beautiful with all of the beautiful decorations and everything in the home, just as they had lived in them.
I like the way the Amish work in that very identifiable style. You can look at a quilt, you know that it was made by an Amish almost, or someone who's copied them anyway.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
they really had some beautiful quilts. Everywhere you went, you'd see the beautiful artwork and everything. And they do a lot of hand work. Most of their work is on hand. And well, they use the machines.
They often use the machines just for doing the piecework, and then the quilting is done by hands oftentimes. Wasn't always quite that way. A lot of times it's not electric machines. They're old hand-pump treadle machines.
Yeah, the treadle. Well, that's what we worked on when we were small, the treadle. And even in school, they didn't bring the electric machines in until about the early part of the, let's see, that was in the 30s, early part of the 40s. Mm. We went to high school now. We learned how to use electric machines. Mm-hmm. But we had the old-fashioned treadle. Mm-hmm. They were singer. Mm. And I certainly wanted to get one. We had one at the mission. Have you been to the Clara White Mission yet?
No.
On Ashley Street. I don't know whether they have any quilts there or not, but they were. They do have the old-fashioned furniture that's been redone by the group. I don't know whether they have any quilts there. But I work as a docent sometimes at the Earth Whites when they, Clara Whites, when they need someone to show them around. We've remodeled the building that, you know, she was one of the first ones to have a soup kitchen among the people.
Uh-huh.
And her mother, and she had the soup kitchen way back then, 1904, right after the fire, the big fire. They've been serving. People go there for the meal, for the noonday meal during the week, and then downtown on Saturdays to some of the places downtown for the noonday meal, working transfers.
You were telling me that you see quilting as being more popular now. What do you think makes it, accounts for that popularity? Why do you think it's gaining like that?
Because it's beautiful art. I think it's beautiful art. Uh-huh. And then the useful quilts, they're just so useful because you can really use them for so many things.
Hmm.
I notice they use a lot of the quilts on the walls now. In the,
I have one hanging up in my wall in my apartment.
Oh, I know it's beautiful. My daughter has one that she made. Yeah. In fact, she started with the quilting a long time ago. In fact, she reintroduced me to quilting because it had been a long time since I had been quilting.
Have you ever had any of your quilts displayed on the wall at all? Have you made wall hangings?
No, I haven't had one displayed.
Oh, you should make a little wall hanging sometime.
Oh, I know, that's nice. Yeah, the wall hangings are beautiful. My daughter has them all in her apartment at Fort Stewart. Her husband's in the service, and that's what she's doing. And she has all of these beautiful, hangings all over her wall in every room, all up and down the hall. Mm-hmm. And it's very beautiful. She likes the quilting.
What do you think that people enjoy about your quilts? What do you think they like them?
Well, I haven't made that many, but I noticed in the nursing homes, the ladies, whenever you carry a quilt or something for them. Now, sometimes we make the quilts for a giveaway, you know, for them, or for the bingo giveaway. But most of them use them for, you know, covering rats, and they love them.
Mm-hmm.
I see them at the little functions. They use the quilts year-round because they like them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem to like them very much. And when you carry them to them and hand them to them, they look at them. And we have one lady over there who does all types of beautiful work. I've got to get back with her. She is so talented. Okay. She was showing me some of the things that she's been doing in her art. She sits in her room and does a lot of needlepoint and quilting and a lot of things.
Okay. Well, I've gotten through my list of questions here.
Can't think of too much more to ask you here. Yes, well, I've enjoyed it. Yeah. Yes, and I know you're going to enjoy working with the others. I wish I had finished the quilt that I started when I hadn't gotten around to it. Well, but it'll probably be finished. Maybe you'll get a chance to see it when I finish it.
Sure, definitely.
I'll try to get it and make it, you know, available. Yeah. I'll try to get it finished before the end of the next month. Yeah. That'll be my goal, and then I'll start on the other that I have in mind. I saw a very beautiful pattern last week on TV. I used to watch the quilt show on Saturdays. I missed it this year. Came in from North Carolina, showing you how to quilt. And this was a very, very beautiful show. It came on around 1 o'clock in the afternoon every Saturday. I missed it this year, but I imagine they come on maybe some stations. Mm-hmm. But it was on Channel 7 on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I appreciate your
All right, and I'm certainly happy to have gotten an opportunity. I've not been able to give you too much
information. Oh, no, it's been interesting. It's been fun to see the link in your family, kind of see how quilting's changed over time a little bit there. I've got a bit of an idea there.
Now, my daughter is really the one
really?
That does the quilting. She does a lot of artwork.
Is she the one who lives in New York there?
She used to live in New York. She lives in Fort Stewart.
Oh.
They are now in Fort Stewart, which is about 2 hours from here. Near Hinesville. Mm. That's somewhere near Savannah. But they were way up in Fort Devens, Massachusetts.
I see.
It's interesting that side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.